Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, March the 8th. And welcome to our commentary. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about that State of the Union last night that has many people wondering what in the heck did we just watch. But I want to begin with a post that I have over at the American Thinker on Friday morning, and that is about Super Tuesday. But I'm going to put a little different angle on my Super Tuesday post, because I wasn't really talking about Biden versus Trump or the national Super Tuesday. I was talking more about Super Tuesday in Texas and two very important things that came out of Super Tuesday in Texas. The first one was the turnout. I mean, the turnout between Democrats and Republicans was incredibly different. I mean, you basically had two Republicans turn out for every Democrat. 2 million plus Republicans turned out or voted in the Republican primary. Less than a million voted in the Democrat primary. I go through some of the numbers in the post, but I mean, like, for example, Ted Cruz, who is running for re-election in the U.S. Senate, he got three times more votes than Colin Allred, who is going to be the Democrat nominee. So that is really an indication of something going on. At least when it comes to enthusiasm. Now, many people will say, well, the turnout is not an important factor because there's a lot of independents who couldn't vote. That's true. I don't know what the percentage of independents in Texas is. Well, let's assume that that it's 30-35%, something like that, similar to other national figures. But that's still, you know, means that two Republicans showed up for every one Democrat. And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing for the Democrats. I think that in many cases, they were simply not turned on. There's no enthusiasm going on in the Democrat Party, either for Mr. Biden or for the rest of the slate. Now, there weren't that many contests either. I was on Telemundo the day of the primary, and I mentioned that in previous years, like 2008, for example, there was a pretty good primary fight here between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. That obviously got people more excited. In 2016, there was a very good primary contested primary between, you know, Ted Cruz and Donald Trump and Marco Rubio and all of that. That obviously did not happen again. So we didn't have a big contest at the presidential level. Sometimes that will get the vote out. But there was a pretty good contest for the Senate. I mean, the Democrats got a lot of publicity out of the Senate primary. There was a lot of talk in the Democrat Party about, you know, nominating somebody to run against Ted Cruz. But still, not that many people showed up. And I've got to believe that's of concern to the Democrat Party. I just don't think they can write that off as easily as I think they're trying to do. Now, the other big story that I talk about in my post with respect to Super Tuesday is the governor. I mean, the governor was clearly the big winner here. Governor Abbott was able to get lots of people out to vote, and they selected a number of Republicans who had voted against vouchers, and they went after them. They set up primaries, and they went after these people, and they defeated most of them. There's a couple who are going on to a runoff, but overall, you've got to believe that it was a very successful project for the governor and the pro-voucher movement. I know that there were 11 that they were targeting. Seven of them were defeated. Two of them, I think they lost. So that leaves another two right now in a runoff. So I think the message was loud and clear that Republican voters in those districts want vouchers. Never really understood why so many Republicans opposed the vouchers, particularly when they're representing red districts. These are not purple districts. There aren't really that many purple districts in Texas. These are red districts where the voters want vouchers. And these Republicans, for whatever reason, didn't support it. And that's the reason that they lost, or they will probably lose in the runoff. Now, so those two stories, the turnout and what happened with the vouchers, were the two big things that happened in Texas. The other thing that happened in Texas is that we became more red in some districts and more blue in other districts. That's another thing happening in Texas. So I guess for me, the good news is that there are more red districts. But the reality is that we're becoming very polarized, and that legislature is becoming more polarized. Both parties have less and less in common, and it's just going to be interesting to see what happens. Now, last night, of course, we watched President Biden and the State of the Union. Now, for the interest in the interest of full disclosure, I've seen most of these, as I can recall, going back to President Nixon in the 70s, and President Ford, President Carter, President Reagan, and so on. And most of the time, the reality is that most of the times, the State of the Union is not that consequential. People tend to forget about it about a week or so later. Now, there's a couple that I remember, like when Reagan was talking about the new federalism. Then I remember Bill Clinton, his speeches were very long. He was a good speaker, but his speeches were often very, very long. I remember President Bush when he gave that speech about Social Security, or when he used the State of the Union speech to talk about Social Security reform. And then, you know, 4 years ago, I remember President Trump delivering his State of the Union address and, you know, talking about the great economy. Of course, he didn't know at the time, or nobody knew, that he would be blindsided a few weeks later by COVID. But most of those speeches had some degree of politics. I'm not going to deny that. But nothing like what we saw last night. What we saw last night was a hyper-partisan speech. And I think that President Biden, first thing he had to convince, I think they told him, look, a lot of Democrats don't think that you're fit to be president. So you got to go out there and show full vitality, show everybody you're in command, and because you need that, you need to do that. So what we got was a man screaming, a man just shouting, and a man who at times looked awfully angry. And that's what we got. That's what we got. We didn't really get a speech. We got a screaming speech where he was yelling about everything. Then that what he did to the Supreme Court, when he looked at the Supreme Court and said, you know, the women in the country and their electoral power and talking about Roe v. Wade, that's completely, completely unnecessary for him to do that. He could talk about Biden. I mean, he can talk about Roe v. Wade all he wants, but the reality is that he shouldn't be targeting the Supreme Court like that in public. But clearly he was on a mission last night to, number one, show vitality, and he did it by screaming. Talk about abortion, because that is a big issue for Democrats. It's frankly one of the few things they have. And obviously he had to really talk about Black Americans. And that's because the polling data with Black Americans shows that more and more Black Americans are just not interested in his presidency. He is not turning on Black Americans. There's a lot of dissatisfaction. A lot of it is result-oriented. I mean, look, if you live in a major city run by the Democrats and you're African-American, you're not doing very well. And, you know, you're not getting any attention from the Democrat Party. They always only remember you, frankly, during the election. They forget about you the rest of the year. And the conditions for Black Americans in these cities are not that good. Now, some are able to get out. They move to the suburbs, and those are the ones who enjoy more success. But the inner city is a real problem, and the Democrats own that. They own that because they run all of these cities. So I think last night, a lot of what he said, he was reacting to the reality, I guess, that the polling data with African Americans is going south and going south very, very fast. And he's in trouble. The Democrats are in trouble. Now, that doesn't mean that the Republicans are going to win the Black vote. I think we need to put this in perspective. But they don't need to win the Black vote. If they can get 15% of the African-American vote, I mean, that would be an earthquake. It would have electoral consequences that we have not seen in quite some time. The other thing that the speech gave us was a lot of the class warfare that you would find more in a campaign speech. I mean, if you're giving a rally or something, during the campaign, you know, you bring in a lot of this stuff about taxing the rich and going after the corporations. But that type of stuff doesn't belong in the State of the Union. Now, if he wants to propose a tax increase, that's a different thing. He can say, look, I want to raise taxes on corporations. Here's a specific thing that I will send to Congress. We've heard that before from presidents who say, I'm going to send the Congress this and I'm going to send the Congress that. We didn't hear any of that last night. What we heard was just a lot of class warfare, a pep rally. This was a pep rally to get the troops ready for the campaign. And that's because, again, I go back to my point. There's not a lot of excitement with Joe Biden right now. And I talked about it a little bit when I was talking about Texas and Super Tuesday. Biden is not getting Democrats excited anywhere, anywhere in the map. They're not excited with Joe Biden. So I don't know. I didn't like the speech. I thought it was too much screaming. And he looked bad screaming. He doesn't look good when he's screaming. Nobody would. Nobody does. Who's cool? Who would look good screaming at a bunch of legislators? I mean, who would? It's simply not a presidential thing to do. Well, speaking of presidents, we remember something today, very important moment in the history of President Ronald Reagan. And this is when he said back in 1983, when he talked about the Soviet Union, and he referred to the Soviet Union as the evil empire. I mean, that drove him crazy. But Reagan turned out to be right. It was an evil empire. And thankfully, it came down. In 1989, 90, 91, it came down. The whole Soviet empire came down. Now, of course, we're kind of living with the consequences of it now, Russia and some of the other problems. But Reagan was right about the old Soviet Union. It was indeed the evil empire. So we remember President Reagan 41 years ago today delivering that speech. And I tell you what, he gave that speech. He was not angry. He was not shouting. He just gave the speech. And he gave it in that Reagan style of talking and respecting the people he was talking to, not what we saw last night, a man screaming at people in, frankly, in a despicable way. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.